This is Shutters Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Hi, and welcome to episode 450 of Shutters Inc. This is Bruce Williams from ShuttersIncPodcast.com, and joining me on Skype from Melbourne, Australia, from creativephotoworkshops.com.au, it is Mr. Glyn Lavender. How are you? Is it Talk Like a Pirate Day?
It's International Speak Like a Pirate. We have to do the entire episode as pirates.
Okay.
So how you been, my laddie?
Yeah, not too bad. I can't do it.
Come on. You haven't even tried there, my lad.
That is true.
I've got to say, I'm starting to get a sore throat after,
after two lines.
Let's say. But it's not coming out on International Pirate Day, so we've done our
bit. That's true. That's right. Yeah. That's it.
So I had to put up my International Speak Like a Pirate Day joke this morning.
I saw that.
So what's a pirate's favourite letter? Of course, everyone says R. And you go, no. It looks like an R, but it's only got one leg.
It's P. So,
yeah, it's P. Did I say not?
No, you didn't.
I said P. Yeah, I told you. I had to start recording quickly because I'm right in the middle of my nap time. I'm lying down and I've got a blanket over me and the cat's on me and I'm getting warm and I'm getting a little sleepy. My eyes are closed.
Right.
There's just long periods of silence during this podcast.
Fantastic. He's gone.
It'll mean I'm probably asleep.
That's right.
Micro naps. I think that can kill you, apparently.
Is that right?
Yeah, well, that's what the road signs say anyway. Micro sleeps. That could kill you.
Yeah.
So you've had a big week.
Look, I don't want to say anything just yet because it hasn't come out.
Yeah, but it's going to come out on Sunday. You've got the job. Well done, dude.
Thank you.
They're not going to call you till tomorrow, possibly, if at all, even then. Let's just assume. Let's make assumptions that you've got a job.
I am very confident. I am very confident. Just to let everybody in on the story, a job has become available at a studio in Sydney. And I'm looking like a very likely chance at getting the gig. So hopefully it'll be definite by Sunday when this comes out, in which case I'll put it in the show notes. But at this point, I'm still waiting on a phone call to actually, you know, dot the I's and cross the T's. But it's looking pretty good. So
it's a long way from where you live, though.
It's no worse than having to commute to the ABC in Sydney or commuting to the ABC up in Newcastle. It's in North Sydney, so it's not quite as far as the ABC in Sydney, but
it's a different
train line. But yeah, so anyway, it'll still be, you know, a good hour and a half commute each way.
Ugh.
Yeah, exactly. But you do what you got to do.
You do. You got to go where the jobs are.
That's it.
Yeah.
So anyway, so hopefully I'll be able to share good news definitely next week.
And if you get the job, Bruce is shouting every listener a bottle of champagne.
All seven of you.
Yeah. That's right. If you can find
a three dollar bottle.
If you can buy six get one free, something like that.
That's right.
Perfect. Anyway, all right. Let's waffle on some crap for a while. I know we've done that.
Yeah.
Let's talk about some stuff
for sure. What do you got?
I tell you, my nap. No, we'll go you first because I can nap while you talk.
Oh. So something that I saw on Inside Imaging this week was the story about these two Australian travel vloggers.
Firkin idiots is what they are.
Absolute idiots.
They're firkin idiots.
Yes, that too. So yes, for anyone,
his name's Firkin.
Right. So anyone
who's a firkin idiot. How'd you go through life with
well
your surname, Firkin?
Played. I had not noticed that.
Hey, I'm a firkin idiot.
Yes, he is, and so is his mate, who's not named Firkin.
No, I think she's King, isn't she?
So
yeah,
for
she's King idiot.
Yeah, King idiot. That's right. That's right.
King Firkin idiot.
So this pair, for those who haven't been aware of the story, are travel vloggers who are, I think they're trying to drive from Australia to London in their four-wheel drive, and they're, you know, vlogging along the way. and decided that in Iran, of all places, that it would be prudent to fly their drone over a military base.
Yeah.
So now they're in a hole in the ground.
Literally.
Yes. And, you know, I just cannot get over the stupidity. Like, why in, of all the countries in the world, to try and pull a stunt like this, you know, just blows my mind. Anyway, I only bring this up because as photographers, we should always be mindful of where we are, what we're shooting. And if we're in foreign countries, be, you know, aware of customs and just their attitudes towards security and foreigners and all this kind of stuff. It's just like, God, this
I like this line in the article. Yeah. Ironically, the goal of their vlog is to inspire anyone wanting to travel and also to try and break the stigma around traveling to countries which get a bad rap in the media. Being holed up in an Iranian prison would seem to run counter to both these goals.
I'm glad you picked up on that because I had seen the same paragraph and was thinking to myself through the week when I saw the story, I thought, oh, I've got to read that paragraph out. So I'm glad you picked up on that.
Fucking idiots.
Yes, absolutely. So anyway, that was my one and only story for the week.
But you're not even allowed to have drones at all with anywhere in the country unless they're licensed. So, I mean, even if it wasn't a military area, these people.
But to do it over a military area is just asking for trouble, like in any country of the world.
They're fucking self-obsessed.
Yep. So, anyway. Carl Hemmings sent me a couple of links this week and a little email that said, loved your travel photos, Bruce and Glyn. They popped up in my YouTube feed. YouTube feed? Really? Special. Here are some screenshots of the video. Oh, sorry. This popped up in my YouTube feed. Pretty special. Here are some screenshots of the video to whet your appetite. Elephant kicking his camera and how close he got to polar bears. And this is a video of a guy called David, what was his name? Yarrow.
Yeah, he's well known.
Yeah, this is an 11-minute video and absolutely worth watching. And what I thought was interesting was his attitude towards photographing wildlife. He said, you know, most people go on a safari and they take the longest possible lens that they can get their hands on, you know, 400mm, 600mm. And he said, my attitude is, that's not where the action is. The action is in getting close. You know, he said, I go by Robert Capa's, you know, mantra. If your images aren't exciting enough, it's because you're not close enough. And this guy is taking photographs of polar bears from a foot and a half away from them. And there's a very interesting story as to how he was able to do that. But yeah, the video is absolutely worth watching. And some of his images are just amazing. Did you get a chance to watch it?
No, I'm not going to watch it. I've seen him before. I know him.
Right.
The thing is, he's not your average photographer.
No.
So don't tell an average photographer they're taking the wrong lenses, because the permissions he gets are not the permissions anybody else is going to get. So off. I mean, he's running bloody cameras on in locations that no one else is going to be able to get access to. He's driving in locations that with special filming permits that no one else has.
Yep.
Get closer. No, well, you can't.
Yeah.
It's illegal for the vehicles to go off this particular into this particular area.
Yep.
So they can't go into that area. So, you know what? You shoot from where you are, where you can get to, not where you've gone and spent who knows how many thousands of dollars getting a specialized permit, filming permit, to allow you to go off the tracks and go into areas that otherwise would not be that. Then another thing, you know, so you're going to go on safari and all however many people are on safari, you're all going to get out with their different cameras, the different lenses and the remote control cars and the triggers and everything else and so on. That's not going to happen.
No.
So nothing he's talking about is real. Okay, you go and pay $100,000. You got and spend 2 months in Africa with paying the permits, getting off-road, taking multiple camera gear so when camera gear gets destroyed, putting cameras on remote control cars to drive them up to elephants' feet. Yeah, of course, you're going to get images other people aren't going to get, but not everyone's going to do that.
No, that's fair. You know? That's fair.
So don't give that advice, because that's false bloody advice. Give advice that, okay, this is the normal constraints people have to work in.
Yeah.
How are you going to get the best results? And how can you shoot something slightly different knowing these are the constraints you have to work within?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good advice to give.
Fair enough.
If you're a world-class photographer with experience in a certain type of thing and you've got to teach people who can't do the things that you do but can do this, this, and this, you teach them how to do the best with that, that, and that.
Yep.
You know, I could teach people pickup lines, you know. you know, I'm not sure where this is going, but I could teach people pickup lines. Yeah, but you're not going to go walking up to some good-looking bloke might be able to walk up to a supermodel and use that line,
and
it'll work, but not if we use them. Know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm not walking up to no supermodel and saying to him, I think you're a parking ticket. Because you've got a fine written all over you. See? Wait, yeah, when it finished, Ray. Having said that, I do like his photos.
Yeah. The photos were amazing. Oh, dear. It's all downhill from here, people.
I think we must as well give up now.
Yeah.
I'll get back to my nap.
What you say is valid, though.
What do you mean?
Like that was in question.
Everything I say is valid.
Oh, dear. What were you going to say?
I just realised we only talked about you.
When?
You didn't ask me how my week had been.
I think I did.
Yeah, I think I avoided it.
I think you walked all over it.
But I ordered a new camera this week.
Oh, okay. What'd you get?
So I thought iPhone 11.
Oh, of course.
Someone said to me the other day, have you ordered what were you about to say?
I was going to say, what iPhone were you on or are you on?
I was on 8.
Right, okay. So you've waited 3 iterations, so that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. I only say that because I just shake my head at the people who have to race out and buy the new one the minute it's available, even though they've got a phone that's only 12 months old.
Yeah. Well, I usually go every couple of generations.
Yep.
Yeah, I ordered, and someone said to me, "Oh, which one did you order?" And I looked at them. And it was a woman. She said, "Which one did you order?" I looked at her. I said, "Well, what do you think?" She goes, "The biggest." I said, "Of course, bloody male. Yeah. the biggest, the one with the mostest." But get this. So this morning, I get this text message from Optus, my phone supplier, my phone people saying, "Where's it gone? Your Optus order, blah, 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 has left the warehouse and will be delivered to you shortly. Track your order here." Fabulous. That's awesome. So I press the button and it goes to this item is out of stock.
It's out of stock because it's left the warehouse and is on its way to your place. Well, so it's no longer in stock at the warehouse.
No other information. Like, that's it. It's like, okay, so that's completely useless, yeah? So it's may or may not arrive sooner or later.
Right. Fantastic.
Now, also on the weekend, I did people with cameras with Fuji.
Oh, okay, yep.
Cameras event. And that was really good. They had, probably 400 people show up, I'd imagine, over the course of the day.
Nice.
Which is pretty good. They had a photo walk. Where people had to go and photograph textures was their thing, and then they were going to print. They had to put them up on Instagram, tag them, and then Fuji were printing them out on the location, and there was going to be a photo competition to win a Fuji camera.
Nice, I love photographing textures.
So it was great.
Yeah,
except
yeah,
they had, I don't know, 300 odd entries maybe, you
right,
know, all printed up and all around the place, and then they came up to me and said, "Glenn, can you judge?"
Oh no.
Well, you know, I'm never one to not say no to criticising people's photos. So I said yes. So I was okay with judging. Yeah. And then they said, oh, we're good. Can we get you to live critique a whole bunch of photos?
Oh, dear.
It's like, okay. So we walked along this line and they just handed me a microphone and they'd pull out photos and there'd be these 300 or 400 people stand there and you had to look at the photo for the first ever time and critique it in front of the actual people whose photo it was.
I don't know how you can really critique texture shots, though.
Well, it depends how it was used. It's not, yeah. It had to purvey a form of texture. And there was some better ones and worse ones and good examples and bad examples. And,
yeah.
Yeah, lots of stuff you can critique and stuff. But the funniest part of all of it was, because it was off their Instagram names.
Right.
I got to look. I could see who'd taken the photo.
Oh, okay.
And you could pick on people with stupid Instagram names.
Right.
Yeah, like Firkin No Idea. So that was kind of fun. So that was a good day out. Cool. Live judging is so much fun, picking on people's photos live.
Excellent.
They'd pull one up to me and I'd go, that's crap, next! Next! And lastly, last week, remember I was trying out the new piece of software?
Not PhotoLemur. Was it PhotoLemur?
PhotoLemur, yeah. Well, yeah. This week I've been trialing their Skylum 3 software.
Oh, yeah.
And as a possible replacement for Photoshop and Lightroom.
Right.
So far, so good. It looks pretty good. I mean, I've decided, it's not really my nature, but I've decided that possibly watching the tutorial videos to learn how it works may be a smart move.
Right.
Because you open up this massive interface of all this stuff with all these buttons and don't know even, I'll just press buttons.
Right.
I'm led to believe that if you actually watch the videos to learn how it works, you can get better stuff out of it.
Who'd have thought? Have you looked at Affinity?
No.
I'd give that a look.
Next week.
Simply because, and I haven't used Affinity, but I know the company that has produced it, and I have used their products in the past, and they've always made really good software. So, unfortunately, Affinity won't run on Linux, otherwise I would be giving it a good bash. But, yeah, from what I've been led to believe, it's really good as well.
Awesome. Well, I'll play with that next week.
Okay. Cool.
All right. It's a homework.
Excellent. Nice. So the Skylum software, what would you say it was called?
Skylum 3. Yeah, they're about to release Skylum 4.
Right.
Which apparently has AI skin smoothing.
Nice. So is it more like Lightroom where it's a management and tagging and raw developer, or is it more like Photoshop that does multi-layered compositing type stuff? Right.
I don't know.
You haven't watched any of the tutorials. Why am I asking you?
I look at a photo and I play with it.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Cool.
That's it.
Right. So, shall we get back to Carl?
Yes. Faroe Islands.
Yeah, so Carl's second email or second message was, who wants to see some beautiful landscape photographs and a great story behind each photo? And it's a link to a portfolio of images on Adobe's Spark platform. And this was a guy who did a tour of the Faroe Islands and said, you know, if you think that Iceland is becoming a little overrun with photographers, then the Faroe Islands should be where you head to, because you've got all of the scenery that Iceland has to offer, but without the tourists and the photographers. So it actually looks pretty stunning, I've got to say. And you were talking a couple of years ago about trying to organise something to go to the Faroe Islands.
No, I wasn't.
You were?
I wasn't.
Yep, you were.
No, I wasn't.
Absolutely.
Absolutely not.
Where were you going to go?
The Shetlands.
Oh, okay. Which are next door to the Faroe Islands. Yeah. Okay.
But they're not the right. Faroe Islands.
Okay. Same neighbourhood. Cruising the same hood. So what happened there? Didn't it happen, obviously?
Well, it was up to them on the Shetlands, and they were going to get a community, like a government grant or something, and I don't know, life got in the way, and right. I wasn't following them up. It's up to them. So
yeah, they heard the podcast and went, no, we don't want him. Okay. David Marland sent us a couple of emails. He said, "Hi, Inks. Just spent the day in Ballarat having a look at parts of the Ballarat Biennale. Lovely way to spend several hours. Here's a link to the main page. There's an amazing array of events, workshops, and exhibitions. There's something for just about every photographer, more than enough for you to have a look, have a think, and be inspired. I generally look at the free open program. There are exhibitions by over 60 photographers in over 50 cafes and bars around Ballarat, so you can enjoy a coffee or a wine as you look, regardless of the fickly weather Ballarat is famous for. For those of you who are a bit timid, there's no obligation to buy a coffee or wine at every cafe you go to, unless you want to. So, in addition, there are a number of exhibitions in the streets with installations in all sorts of spaces, such as the famous median strip on Sturt Street, as well as in laneways that you can come across accidentally. Cheers, David." So the Biennale is on until mid-October, I think, from memory. So the links will be in the show notes for anyone that wants to check that out, and obviously this is more useful for people who live in Victoria than it is for anybody else, unless you feel like travelling. Yeah.
20th of October.
20th of October. So there we go. We've got about a month to go. So,
yeah. I mean, and it's a lovely area to drive around and, take some photos, look at some photos.
Absolutely. Rob Coates said, "G'day, Inks. Saw this mentioned on the ABC News page. Some great shots." And this is the Wildlife Comedy Photo Awards for 2019.
Which are always good to look at.
Oh, there are some hilarious images there. So, definitely worth a look. He also sent the ABC coverage of the same story because somebody had added some amusing titles and captions to some of the photos. So I'll put both links in the show notes for those that want to check them out. And that is me done.
Is it?
Yep.
Is that all you got?
That's all I got.
My nap's coming quicker than we expected, isn't it?
As soon as you finish your stories, you can go and nap.
You must. B1 and B2, as I like to call it,
right.
Which is actually C1 and C2.
C1 plus.
C1 and C+, whatever they call them. Yeah. So what they call themselves? What's the name of the company?
Profoto.
That's the one. Profoto releasing two phones for studio lights for smartphones.
Oh, okay.
So using their app,
this
will trigger them as studio flashes. Oh, or as flashes.
Sweet.
Right, so
like a little handheld light with a dome diffuser on top.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Sweet.
And supposedly 4,300 lumens.
Okay.
Which I'm not sure to what that actually translates to. And I'm seeing not a lot of power.
Yeah.
And
so you're
not going to be knocking down ambient light particularly much.
Not going to be overpowering the sun with it.
Yeah, but there's going to be locations where it could be pretty darn cool to use. I'd love to play with one. That can be a bit of fun.
Yeah,
I'm not enamored with their examples, and there's some horrible color casts. And that doesn't necessarily let you think what the quality of light's like if what they're showing is all these horrible color casts.
Yeah.
But at the same time, at $500 for the more powerful one, so we're talking, $800 Australian, it's an expensive toy by the sounds of it,
Yeah, and far less useful than buying a decent flash and an off-camera flash trigger system.
Well, it depends if you only shoot with your iPhone, though.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
If you're a vlogger, let's say, and you're in fucking trouble, you want to take decent photos of it. I might be in jail, but I want to be well lit.
Yeah, that's right.
That's important. The slow death of Photokina.
Oh, okay.
So Photokina this week announced that Olympus, Nikon, and Leica won't be there next year.
Wow.
Which are three, fairly significant companies, especially Leica, because they don't even got to travel.
Right,
it's the same country, That's got to just pop out, Nikon and Olympus, these have got to come all the way from overseas, but Leica can't even be bothered showing up for their own show, basically. So that doesn't sound very good.
No,
and Photokina said, "We of course regret these cancellations, but they changed nothing for the overall experience of Photokina." Well, I would say no, that's not true. Because if I'm a Nikon person, it changes my experience significantly. If I'm there to see all the Leica stuff, it changes my experience somewhat.
Yeah.
You know?
Interestingly, Canon, Sony, Panasonic, Sigma, Tamron, Carl Zeiss, Hasselblad, and others are all listed as attending.
Yeah. What that means is they haven't said they're not attending.
Yeah.
They haven't cancelled yet. But that may change.
The annoying part of a story like this is that if in 5 years' time Photokina has, you know, completely disappeared because these big manufacturers have elected not to go, they'll be the first ones to bitch and moan that the company or that the industry is in decline.
Yeah, and that's because it is.
but you're only shooting yourself in the foot by, you know, doing this and you're not helping the entire industry.
What comes first, the horse or the cart?
Yeah.
The chicken, the string. How long is a piece of chicken? No,
that's right.
something like that.
That's it.
What came first, the chicken or the LCD screen? Yeah. Just one of those things. That's they're just causing their own problems.
Yeah.
But I like there's some interesting comments down there.
Right.
It's like this one goes. Expos are a waste of time and capital. A very small portion of the photo-taking community actually attends. The internet is cheaper, faster, and much more efficient way of announcing products, changes, and interacting with consumers. If anything, it is as bad for the event organizers and not the brands themselves. It's a signal that the market is indeed shrinking and great expositions like this are no longer needed. It's only a matter of time before the event itself disappears. Is one comment.
Mm-hmm.
Followed by, smart move for these brands pulling back, and I hardly doubt that they will be the last ones. Nikon, Leica, and Olympus have a great dealer network. If you want to see what is new, head down to your local camera store. Your money and time will be better spent there than some great convention center.
Well, I would agree with the last part of that.
Yes.
You know, that going and supporting your local camera store is probably a much better idea. You're certainly going to get better hands-on, you know, with gear at your local camera store than you will at the trade show, because at the trade show the new shiny thing has got, you know, a line of 100 people all waiting to get their grubby mitts on it, where in your local camera store you're probably, you know, the only person there who's looking at it on that particular day, and you're going to get one-on-one service from someone who is paid to know all of the stuff about the new shiny object. So I agree with the final sentiment of that. I'm not sure that I agreed with the opening part of it, but anyway.
But then this guy here goes, he's been attending, this next guy, attending shows for over 10 years. The education portions with various tracks are great for those starting out. The expo portion provides consumers with the opportunity to actually handle and test gear that they otherwise could not, particularly with the death of most local camera stores. So it's spot on. It's once again the chicken or the egg. You can't necessarily go to camera stores anymore because most of them are out of business.
Yeah, I guess if you're not in a major, you know, Cap City, it's certainly not as easy to get to a good camera store.
And, it's nice to see a picture on the internet. It's not the same as holding it.
No.
And a lot of camera stores wouldn't have the latest and greatest because it's not yet out. It's tricky. I think the industry needs to maintain being active. But, the days of the million-dollar stand, I think, is
done.
You know, well done, Then I saw that Pocket Wizard.
Oh, yeah.
The lovely folks of Pocket Wizard updated a firmware update for their Pocket Wizard triggers.
Okay.
But they want to charge $10 US for it.
What?
Yeah, so they want to charge $10. There's an upgrade, and it also it adds some extra features. Again, this and reliability, which is, you know, you shouldn't be paying for reliability
which is the crutch word just to fill out the text describing the thing when we've got nothing to actually talk about.
Yeah, and so people are going, with the Chinese coming out with equally effective, much cheaper products, this is the time that they chose to start charging for firmware updates?
Exactly. The thing is, you paid for the product to begin with. So I, as far as I'm concerned, as a consumer, I've already paid for your R&D. So the firmware should come for free.
Software companies charge for new versions?
Yes.
Updates?
Yes.
With more features and better reliability, and you keep paying for that.
Yeah, true.
Oh, that's your only argument, is it?
No, I was just trying to kick that around in my head and think of why. Because on the face of it, I see your point that we pay for software upgrades that give us new features. And I'm just trying to think, what is my reasoning for feeling that firmware should be provided at no charge? And I'm sort of coming up blank with an answer for that right at this moment. If anyone's got a reason for why my argument is valid, please send me an email to let me know.
Can someone please let me know what my argument is, please?
That's right.
But here's the most valid point. I thought, can't they see that continued support is precisely the only area where the Chinese still fall short, the only area where they can be seen as the preferable option, and they will kill that advantage with this crass approach?
That's a very valid point.
Then someone just put RIP PW. And then somebody put dead company walking, Godox, munchy, munchy, munchy. Which is probably as valid as your argument, really.
Dear.
And then I saw this one last piece. And it was so bad I didn't bother clicking to look at it.
Right.
The headline was Landscape Photography with a Drone, Part 1. What is a drone? Thinking, oh, no.
Oh dear!
Oh, yeah. If you want to read a video on landscape photography with a drone, you shouldn't need to know what a drone is.
Exactly.
I'm sorry. That's.
And yeah, honestly, what kind of a rock have you been living under if you don't know what a drone is at this point in time?
Unbelievable. Part one: what is a drone? Crazy.
Oh dear.
Oh, that's it. I've got diddly squeak. Nothing else but that. Nothing.
Excellent.
School holidays start this week, end of this week.
Right.
And I've got a lot of things planned already, unfortunately, so my time with the kids is already pretty limited. But I've got this idea to do some photos, so I might actually force the kids for a photo day out.
Oh, nice. You're going to be my canary in the coal mine from now on.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You've got to tell me when the school holidays start and end. Because I've got no
whole
idea.
New world, isn't it?
Yeah, I've got no idea now.
The place to be.
So, excellent.
Yes, yeah, so school holidays. So for those who follow my Facebook page, you might want to blank me out for the next 2 weeks with the dad jokes.
Nice. Oh, Glenn, you know what we haven't done yet?
I don't care. What?
We haven't got George on chat.
No, we don't want to talk to George. He's a pain in the ass.
We said we were going to have him on for a chat.
Oh, do we have to? on one condition.
I think you do.
I think we do. He's here. He's already here.
Well, you better say nice things about me or else.
George, welcome to Shutters Inc., mate.
Oh, thank you, Bruce. It's such a pleasure finally getting to speak to you because I can tell you, Glenn wasn't too impressive.
I've got to tell you, though, Bruce, it's kind of nice on our 450th episode.
Yep.
To actually get to interview one of our 7 listeners.
Yes, absolutely.
That's pretty momentous, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I've got to say also, our number one listener in Pakistan.
Excellent.
I've just established a Shutters Inc. podcast fan group here.
Excellent.
It's a bit lonely because I'm the president, but I've got no other members yet, but I'm working hard.
Excellent.
That's go on a photo walk with yourself. It'd be great.
I do a lot of things by myself over here.
Have a meetup. Oh dear, oh dear. So welcome. So we should explain who George is for those who are maybe listening for the episode for the first ever time.
Yeah.
I mean, where the hell have you been, people, for starters?
Yeah.
Well,
off you go.
Who's George? Do you want me to introduce myself?
Yeah, it's probably best because, we'll probably do a shoddy job of it.
Okay. Hi, my name's George. I'm 54-ish. Married, 2 daughters, originally from Melbourne, currently living in Pakistan, though the family's still in Canberra. I like pina coladas, getting caught in the rain, not into yoga. Sorry, I'm getting carried away there.
Or yogurt.
Or yogurt.
No. And yogurt whilst doing yoga is just ridiculous.
And one of my passions is photography, though not very good. Started in film in the 70s when I stole my brother's OM-1 camera and picked up a digital camera in 2000 2001. And yeah, it's just the highlight of my whole photography epic journey was getting to spend 12 days with Glyn in Tanzania on Discovery Photo Tours. Thanks for money for that. tour of the Serengeti.
Yeah, right.
And I'll tell you what, I've got to say, so you started in the early 70s, so that's what we're talking, 45 of your 54 years. Geez, it must have been pretty darn low like the rest of it.
I can tell you it was.
We're starting with a low base, obviously.
Well, I think it's taken me this long to reach kind of like my pinnacle, and I think I've dropped off now.
Well, yeah, well, you're not hanging around me every day now, so you're obviously going to sort of, yeah, slow down a bit. Yeah, you don't get to bask in my reflected glow, yeah, which adds an extra stop to all your photos.
Yeah. Well, you're right. It was actually quite hard trying to get the light correct with Glyn just kind of like adding that extra stop of light. Yeah.
And it's not just my white legs.
No, definitely not.
So I said you can imagine George is pretty annoying, because our listeners have probably already picked up. Yeah, he talks and talks and talks. It's hard for me to get a word in, yeah? I have to keep interrupting myself to interrupt him, you know? So you imagine how the rest of the poor people on tour felt like, having me and him.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, look, I did feel sorry for him. You know, two Australians, and we're not your typical Australians. We do talk and talk and talk and talk a lot. And the French Canadians.
Yeah, the French Canadians who didn't speak much English and looked at us like, what the hell?
Exactly, especially in the safari suits.
So explain the safari suits for those who didn't hear.
So I thought it was a great opportunity going back to the Dark Continent that the two great hunters going back to do shooting in Africa should go in the traditional safari uniform called the safari suit. So I got Glyn's measurements sent over to me, and I got my tailor over here to make us two nice beige, light beige coloured linen safari suits. And yeah, we were the khaki. Yeah, okay, khaki. Light khaki, because I couldn't match it. But we were the bells of the ball. Like, people were coming up and taking their photographs with us.
It was quite a moment.
I
reckon so. So you've been back a little while now. You've had time to reflect and look over your pictures. Tell us some of your experiences and what were the highlights for you.
Okay.
And just before you do go on, they don't all your highlights don't have to include me, but it'd be nice if they did.
Oh, so you want me to go off the script that you sent me, not the one that said, you read this as is.
Glyn is
a truly remarkable and inspiring teacher.
No, you're supposed to read it like you're saying it, just naturally, not like you're reading it on a piece of paper.
Sorry, okay.
So start again. We can edit out the last bit. It's okay, start again.
Oh, right, okay. no, seriously, it was one of the most unbelievable, fantastic photo trips that I've ever done. Mind you, is my first one and only one, but I think the problem that it's done is that it's set the bar so high. I went to Africa with no preconceived ideas. I went there to go, hey, you know, I've been listening to Glyn now for a few hundred episodes.
Yeah, and that's how he comes to the podcast every week. With no preconceived ideas.
But George does have one thing up on me there, though. He's listened to these episodes.
Yeah. I did. I started listening when there was that background porn music during the podcast.
I've heard about that. George, could I just say, as someone who claims to be an audio engineer, as Bruce does, how could you possibly even let him get away with that? I mean, where was his brains at? You wonder why he got sacked.
Well, the first couple of times I'm thinking, it's something back, you know, playing in the car, because I'm like, why is there that? It was really low background. And then I realised when it stopped, I'm like, oh, it's not me.
It wasn't the radio off channel slightly.
Yeah, that's right. But no, so I did go to Discovery Photo Tours.
Yes.
To Tanzania. And like I said, no preconceived ideas. Thought, oh, yeah, we might see a, you know, because you hear all these horror stories about, you know, there's no animals in the world, they're all being killed off and that. And I can tell you, like, from the moment we, well, even beforehand, from the moment we met the people, because that's always probably the biggest apprehension. It's like, you know, who are these people I'm going to spend my time with? I'm sharing a tent with a bloke I don't know because I didn't want to spend the other $1,000 to get my own tent.
US dollars.
That's right. Oh, yeah. We won't talk about that in case my wife listens, but 6,000 US for the tour. Worked out at 10,000 Australian. It was like, that was a surprise when it hit the credit card. Yeah.
You didn't see the fact that it said USD rather than AUD.
Well, you see things online. But I can tell you from the moment we hit the ground running in our first park, where, you know, you go, oh, wow, look, there are zebras and wildebeests. And that first moment when we stopped, when that huge bull of an elephant just decided to go, yeah, well, I'm bigger than you. And like, I sat down after that and said, you know what? I'm done. It can't get any better than this. And unfortunately, or fortunately, every day did. Yeah. And at the end of each day, I used to go up to Ken, who was the organizer, and tell him, mate, you better make sure tomorrow's better because we're going to remember this at the end of the, you know, at the end of the whole safari, and that's going to be the basis of our reviews. And every day was better than the last. There was no, like, as if, you know, there was a program, you know, you just go and tell the boys, right, we just need a couple of leopards and some cheetahs and let's get some elephants having sex. It was just unbelievable.
We didn't see that, did we?
Yeah.
did we see elephants having sex?
No, we didn't see elephants having sex. We just saw lions.
Now,
I must tell so Bruce, everyone did a 10-day safari except Glenn.
Yes.
Oh.
He did 9 days.
Right.
Because he was there for one of the days, the 10th day, but we had to go over the crater into the Ngorongoro Reserve. And I don't know if you're aware, Glenn doesn't like heights.
Oh.
So he decided to drug himself.
Right.
And I wish I recorded it because the funniest thing was, he was falling asleep, but at one stage he almost, like, fell on the driver as we were going up this road that would have killed us. So we were all laughing. It was so funny. But the weirdest thing was we'd wake him up and he'd take some photos and some great photos.
Yeah.
And then the next day we're talking to him about it, had no recollection.
Wow.
And we're like, no, you're bullshitters. Because you told us this and you gave us advice and he's like, I've got no idea what you're talking about.
I must say, on those drugs, my conscious brain can go to sleep and my subconscious can run things for a day. So it's, which is always kind of scary.
I'm still Glenn, I'm still waiting for that $10,000 you promised me well on that day.
Keep waiting, dude. George says that every day got better and better. If you remember, we'd packed everything up. We're at the airport ready to come home, and there's a car chasing giraffes off the runway. I mean, there's just stuff happening everywhere. You know, it just never seemed to stop. There's always something to look at, and always something interesting, and it was pretty cool.
Peter mum trying to teach her kids, you know, the cubs how to hunt.
Yeah, yeah.
Was just like jam-packed. Now, you know, Glenn, you should switch this off so you don't hear it, but I have to tell you, Glenn is a pretty impressive teacher. I mean, did you see those photos I sent through, Bruce?
Yes, I've got them all, Messenger? And I'll put them up in the show notes. Yep.
So, for example, that first one that I sent you with the bloke standing in front of the tree, that's my typical portrait shot. An hour and a half with Glenn later, that second one that I took was Glenn explaining light, composition, and I hate saying this, but he's pretty good.
Yeah.
And he's no bullshit type lessons and explains things in the simplest terms that someone like me, the only cost is that you've got to put up with him for that hour and a half. And so it gives you some great lessons, but God, you pay for it in insults.
Pot kettle black, my friend, you know. Yeah.
But no, it was, and that was a bonus. So I was there a couple of days early. Glenn came. I had my my young taxi driver called Robert, who even serenaded both Glenn and I as we were driving. And that 1.5 hour walk around was just fantastic. You know, just, I mean, I reckon he would be annoying on family holidays because as you're driving around, he goes, "Oh, look at that! And I'm like, "My God!" Like every page, he goes, "That's a great photo shoot. We can do that." So, but his mind works at a level in his photography stuff that's just, you know, unbelievable. So, I hate saying it. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really hurting me to say good like that about someone, especially Glenn.
So, you know, you had low expectations and I almost managed to meet them. Is that what you're trying to say?
Well, yeah, that's right. No, you definitely exceeded them. I mean, the funny thing is you are the same person on the podcast in real life.
Yep.
I thought it was just like a kind of like putting it on, being really nasty to poor Bruce. But no.
He's that way to everybody.
Yeah, that's right. Bruce, don't feel offended. It's just like
oh, I know.
Everyone.
I know. Yeah.
I would hate to have paid for a workshop to actually pay for someone to actually demean you. But the best part though is if he tells you you've done something good, you know it's then pretty good because he doesn't give false praise.
Yeah.
And I think he gets upset when he has to say something nice, which kills, I think he dies. It kills like he dies.
You know that there's no greater joy for me than seeing you take something awesome.
Oh, you were fantastic. Like I said, I likened our relationship to me being grasshopper and you the master trying to take that pebble out of your hand, you know, the whole Kung Fu reference from the 70s. You did. Jeez, every time old. One of us in the car took a great photo, and was over the moon, genuinely over the moon. Though I do think he took 50% credit for every photo taken. So
50?
That's why we're not posting them or making any.
More but, than 50.
Okay. But that is the sign of a great instructor, lecturer, teacher, in that your pleasure comes from seeing your pupils doing great work. So thank you very much.
You took some astounding photos on this trip. You really did. I was, you know, a couple I hate you for, as you well know, because you know, they're far better than anything I've got. But you know, those like those lines up a tree, for an example. You know.
Yeah.
Oh, the mother and the cub where she's licking
the... Yeah, those ones, yeah. Just rub it in a bit more, dude, why don't you? You not only sent one, you sent two through to show off, you know? So we were in separate vehicles for the only time in the entire trip, and they got to this thing that was just absolutely epic, and my vehicle, the people in it wanted to shoot this non-epic thing and our driver wasn't going, but there's epic happening around the corner. So we photographed this non-thing whilst they photographed this awesome thing and he got some cracking shots. So, yeah, really pleased about that.
Nice.
It did get to the stage though because the four of us in the car, Roger, Mary and Keith, we thought, no, but he was in the car with us. So we thought he must have drugged us because we couldn't remember that day that he wasn't with us.
The noise was still echoing in the head, you know?
Once heard, can't be unheard. Is that what you're saying?
That's right. Yeah, that's right. We all thought you were with us on that. There was some unbelievable photo opportunities. And obviously, like every photo I took, like I was the most surprised out of everyone. Yeah, I'm like, wow. And I suppose I did the mistake of looking at that, you know, 3.5-inch screen going, oh, yeah, they're pretty soft or pretty crappy. But no, it was really good. And, at first I was concerned because, you know, photography is all about having the bigger size and, you know, going micro four thirds, you know, compared to people with full frame. But I was actually amazed at the quality of, because I had an Olympus and a Panasonic. I just can't complain. And these are the first photos I think I'll, you know, since moving away from film that I'm actually going to print and put up. You know, some of them are really good. Isn't it?
Well, I mean, the quality, I mean, as I always say, it's not the tool, it's the tool you're using it. And and frankly, I've never met a bigger tool. but now you said you can't argue because it's true. your skill level with your gear, you knew your gear well enough. You didn't have to ask any questions about which button does what. So you were all over all that stuff, which was great. And some of your compositions were just fabulous. I mean, stuff you were seeing stuff that I wasn't seeing, and that's brilliant. That's what's one of the great things about photographing with other people is you see how they're seeing stuff too. And that was brilliant. So well done, you dude.
Thank you. And that second picture, you did not see me take that picture because that was taken candidly when you were fighting and wrestling that, you know, 96-year-old
lady who stole my camera. Well, she was stronger than me, so.
So Bruce, I don't know if he told you the story. I haven't heard the last couple of podcasts, but he created this huge, huge scene.
Yeah.
With his
She created this
frail old little lady who just wanted to have a look at what he was doing.
Yeah.
Everyone's turning around and I'm sitting there going, what's going on there? Oh, look at that perfect shot. So I actually took it and it was about, you know, 40 meters away. So thanks, Glenn, for setting that photo opportunity up for me.
I was doing my I'm pregnant walk, yeah, to distract the ladies. I'm at one stage, I'm holding my belly and holding my back and going, oh, and all the ladies are laughing. And no one was photographing them. I'm setting up all this because it was a really hard place to shoot because people, if they saw you pointing your camera at them, they wanted money.
Yeah.
So, you know, do all this distraction stuff, you know, and so they'd be looking at me, give other people a chance to shoot, but they're all looking and laughing at me being a dickhead instead. the bull elephant.
You did set it up.
Yeah, the bull elephant was a highlight. What other things stood out for you?
I was amazed at one of the other ones was the leopard. So again, I don't know if he explained this, Bruce. We had the best driver. His name was George.
Right.
And we were always late to any one of those, you know, because they're on the radio, so everyone rushes to something that's happening, and we would always turn up late. The beauty of having George, who knew most of the things that and how the animals react, and having Glenn there with the understanding of light, we always got positioned in what we always thought was a pretty crappy position. But it would always turn up that, you know, the animal would move and come and sit in front of us, or we would have an uninterrupted view, like the lion having the dead wildebeest.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, we were like in the worst position to start with. Then all of a sudden, it's like, oh no, they're all going to come and steal my food, and then moves it and just sits like perpendicular to our car. So we had an uninterrupted view. And the same thing happened with the leopard. Everyone's there looking, you know, positioned to have a look at this leopard that was sitting on top of this rock outcrop. And you could just, if you squinted through your, you know, telephoto lens, you could probably see something. So we're just sitting there going, oh yeah, we'll just hang around a bit. And we're just waiting. And then all of a sudden Mama Leopard comes up and plonks like 30 meters away from us on a rock that looked like a platform, and she started modelling for us.
Yeah.
That was planned.
That was just.
Yeah, we had to pay her quite a bit to do that, but
yes, and it worked out really well.
Well, I mean, as you know, but there's a lot of luck involved in that stuff, of course. But you know, you try and position yourself with the best background, the best angle you can, and you know, when we pulled up to that leopard, there was nothing. Yeah, you know, there was nothing within 50 meters of us, and all of a sudden she showed up right in front of us, and you know, and that wasn't even the leopard we were looking at. So it was a
No, that's right.
Yeah, completely planned fluke.
Yeah.
Yeah, and but again, you know, the whole safari was like that. But, you know, it was just highlighted that what, you know, the conservation that they're doing is working. Yeah. And it's amazing. These animals just come right past your vehicles. They completely ignore you. You feel like, oh, they must be domesticated. But, yeah, you don't want to get out of the vehicles. And it was every day there was something different. Even with the elephants, you know, you'd go, oh, yeah, I'm tired of looking at elephants. But they were doing different things. You know, they were walking as a group. They were playing in a, you know, in a little pond with green algae on the top. They were wrestling. They were rolling around in mud. They were squirting each other. It was just every day something different.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I think the only thing we probably didn't get a great opportunity to do, which was the river crossing, because we always got there a little bit too late. But we still got some amazing shots.
Yeah, I mean, the river crossings didn't go off big time. We didn't have a lot of opportunities for a lot of animals to cross. So the few that we got to where it was towards the end, it had only been 100 or two animals running across. It wasn't the thousands of animals making the journey across in one go. So we had two decent-ish crossings, but nothing compared to what they had the previous week, and nothing compared to what they had the following week. So it was just that one gap, which is always the way, you know. But
people the week before didn't get to see the leopards and that.
Exactly.
It balances out.
Yeah,
but it's like I say, you can animals.
Look, ancillary, like what?
Well, you know, we go for the big five, but you know, how great was it? What looking at the vultures, you know, sticking, you know, starting to rip into the dead animals, and the cranes then taking the food and fighting over. You know, those opportunities were amazing as well. Yeah. Or the eagles that would just have a kill.
Let's not forget the lilac-breasted roller.
Oh, yes, which I missed out on.
Well, yeah, I don't think we missed out on much, but there was one, it's kind of an in-joke that there was one vehicle in our group that every time they saw this bird, it seems like they'd stop for 10 minutes to try and photograph it, and it was always the same species over and over every single day. It's like, oh, my God. So it became kind of a bit of a joke, you know, the bloody lilac-breasted roller.
Yes.
And
everyone was caking it except me, so I would have liked that.
Come back in Feb, dude. I'll look after you. I'll get you a shot.
A discount in Australian dollars?
Yeah, I'll give you a discount in Australian dollars. Not many. Eight?
No, that's right. Eight.
$8?
I couldn't say one for each viewer, but yeah, we've got eight.
Yes.
Listener, I should say.
Very good. I'll buy you a bottle of red.
Right. Red what?
Well, you saw the red, and they're like $35 US a bottle for a crappy bottle of red. So.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That was. Look, the accommodation was unbelievable. I mean, the whole logistics of the trip, do yourself a favor. Yeah, if you've got a spare couple of grand lying around, if you want a trip of a lifetime, just go on one of these photo safaris with Discovery Photo Tours.
With who is the leader?
With Ken. Oh, of the vehicle, of Glyn Lavender, of course.
Well, that's semi-glowing praise if I've ever heard of. Yeah.
But no, the logistics were great. I mean, there was not one problem. Every person was just fantastic. Everyone had this common goal and vision. We were all there to just learn and take some great photos. And I think every one of us did the same thing. And, you know, one of my problems is I missed some photos because I would just put the cameras down and look because, you know, you're just in awe of what you're seeing. And, your eyes give you that greater impact because you can see it in front of you as opposed to watching, you know, looking
through the little, The best possible thing to do is to put your damn camera down and look at it for a while.
The photos do not do justice to what we saw, you know, and it's all the senses, the dust, the noise, the smell. It's just the most, humbling experience when you're there. So, no, I just can't rave about it enough. I'm waiting for people to start telling me to shut up about it. But I am, I keep selling it to people and they're all interested. And I said, look, if you want to go in February, there's a great, great team leaders. And I tell them about Ken and
Patrick
and Bobby and Patrick.
Oh, not Bobby.
Hey, how good is Patrick? Did you see his little video that he posted on Facebook?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Yeah.
Is he on the list of people you hate?
Oh, I hate most people, so, it's not hard to make that list.
But again, and that was the other good thing about the photo leaders. It wasn't as if, Glenn would just talk to the four of us and Patrick would talk to his four people and so on. It's like everyone was there giving their advice and their suggestion and hints and not one person said, you're Glenn's group, go away, or you're an Australian, we don't want to talk to you. They did that a few times, sorry. But especially for the others in our vehicle, that was just – the camaraderie of our group was fantastic. And the drivers were it was just great. I just can't keep, praise it enough. And like I said, I was surprised. I didn't have any expectations, but I didn't think it would turn out as well as it did. And I didn't actually think I would take photos as the ones that I took. And like you said, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what anyone else thinks, long as you like them, which there's a couple that I don't like, but most of them I like. The other bonus was, being able to do some street photography. Like I said, I've never done that before. I've never taken portraits because, as my wife says, to take portraits, you need to have a genuine like for people, which I don't seem to have, it seems. But you made it easy with your advice. And even out down at the village, those couple that I sent you with the girl, whilst, looking back now, if I had that chance again, I would probably try and slightly change it, maybe getting a shallower depth of field. But
no, I love your one of the girl, the girl with the dog you're talking about.
Yeah.
No, I think that's great. Yeah. I think it's a really cool shot and it's perfect for what you want for that sort of stuff. I think when I saw it, I go, oh, damn, I should have got one, just the two of them. So that's, the only suggestion I would have had, and it's not necessarily practical because of the location, would have been I would have moved further to your right. Try and bring a separation between the dog and the girl, bring them a little bit closer together by shortening that. But if you go further to your right, you might be shooting off the end of the building and then the whole background looks crap. So, you work with what you got.
You know what I wish about that photo?
What's that? You check it out?
You were talking last week about my shot of – oh, sorry, 2 weeks ago – about my shot of the tea picker in – Sri Lanka, and about the serendipity of the colours all just working.
Yep.
And what I like about that image, or in the perfect world, would have been to swap the position of the dog and the girl, because the girl is dark and the wall behind the dog is light in colour. The dog is light in colour and the door is dark in colour. And if they had been in opposite positions, that just would have been another level again. But I still love the photo.
And the body language of the girl, if she was on the other side, would be, more inclusive of the dog, because it's almost as if she's just turning, she's got that other side of her as opposed to having, I agree with you. If it was a perfect world, maybe Photoshop.
But, that's every photo ever taken, though, guys.
Yeah, exactly.
what could have been better, you know? And you know, the thing is, you got that shot and not many other people did, and that's pretty darn awesome, you know? Yeah. So if you can look at it that way, yeah, that's pretty cool.
There was another issue, Bruce, that Glenn had to help me with. In my post process, he had to give me advice on how to actually use my I'm sitting there because all I'm going, he goes, what are you doing? I said, all I can do is just adjust my dark. And he's like, you know, I like shadow. No? So I am going to post-processing. So I reckon my next level up, and I'll send some to Glenn to take to that next level. I think there's some pictures there that might help and get better with some improved post-processing.
Remember, I'd never seen that program you were using before until you pointed it to me. So it's your only incompetence for not knowing how to use your own, gear. But it certainly made a huge difference. That little tweaks in post-processing certainly made a big difference to your photos. And, you know, when you can learn to see those things, it's a big jump, you know. Yeah, just being able to lift a shadow, to drop it down to highlight, that kind of stuff.
And just using the, you know, black and white, which is one of my favourites, I just think it just declutters the photographs with all the colour of the noise.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's it. I mean, you're removing all the distractions, which is a powerful thing, you know?
Well, guys, I don't know about Glenn's end of the conversation, but I'm starting to get some bandwidth dropouts from George.
I'm getting nothing but dropouts.
Yeah, exactly. So I think we might wrap this up. But thanks for coming in, George, and having a chat.
Thanks for the invite, and I will continue listening, and I'll try and rustle up some extra listeners. And thank you for the opportunity to talk about a great safari with Discovery Photo Tours. And thank you, Glenn. And nice. When I'm down in Melbourne at the end of the year, I'll make sure I'll text you.
I'm away that weekend. I'm away that weekend. Sorry, dude.
Oh, damn. I kind of like pay for one of your workshops.
Oh, I'm available.
Excellent.
Good on you, Andy.
Unbelievable. Right. Well, thank you very much from
sunny George.
Pakistan, and thank you. I miss you too. And Bruce, don't take anything that he says personally. He's just a bastard deep down inside, and he treats everyone like.
All right.
Take it easy, guys.
See you, matey.
Thank you very much. Bye.
Bye. Whew, cool. Thank God he's gone.
Jeez.
I'm still on.
Oh, damn.
Damn. What a bastard. See ya.
Shutters Inc. Another audio2.com quality podcast. For questions, comments, and feedback, email theboys@shuttersincpodcast.com.